This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Yes, Pennsylvania's very own John Fetterman in the crosshairs of that. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210. On X at Rich Zeoli. Great to have you with us today. Busy, busy day. A lot going on. The president had a little gaggle in the Oval Office today as he announced that the NFL draft is going to be in D.C. And they're expecting a couple million people to come out for it. He was there with the NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell. He was there with the owner of the Washington Chiefs. Washington Redskins, formerly known as Redskins, now known as the Commanders. Right. Yes. The Commanders. Stupid name. But the team formerly known as the Washington Redskins. And they talked about all this today, and they made this announcement along with the mayor of D.C., Muriel Bowser. This all happened in the White House today. So we'll talk about that. We've got our buddy Bill DiAgostino from the Media Research Center and Newsbusters joining us today as well. We're excited about that. He's going to be here at about 4:30 p.m. We'll go through all this. Joe Concha is going to be on the show later today. His book on President Trump's campaign got a great endorsement from President Donald Trump. So there you go. Tariffs. So let's talk about tariffs for a moment, shall we? Where do we go from here? When are we going to get a deal? President said today he thinks that we're going to have a deal soon. The rumor is a big deal with India is going to be announced very, very soon, which is going to put a lot of pressure on China. And then hopefully a deal with China will be announced soon. All right. So that's what we can hope happens. I've been saying this since this all began. I want to see trade deals here. I want to see deals happen. The sooner, the better. Here's the Treasury Secretary, Scott Bessent, talking about tariffs. He was on CNBC. This is what he said, what we can expect. Cut number two.
I can say that I am highly confident that we have 18 important trading partners. We'll put China to the side. The 17 other partners, many of them have approached us with the very good trade proposals. President Trump is going to be involved in all of those. He will be the final decision maker. And you know, we'll see where that goes. But I think that at the end of this, even if we have tariffs still in place, because the non-tariff trade barriers are coming down, because we can see an end to some of the currency manipulation, the unfair subsidy of labor and capital from the other countries, we could see the more frictionless trade.
Good. If that happens, that's great. If we can have frictionless trade, more frictionless trade, which as I translate that into more free trade, then that's good and everybody benefits and everybody wins. If that becomes the outcome of this, hopefully this week we get some announcements. I'm hoping India, which puts pressure on China, as I mentioned, and then we do a big deal with the EU and we can get moving on this and everybody can feel confident. That's my hope. But if you were hoping that President Trump would run for a third term, you are going to be sadly disappointed because he's not going to. And he made that very clear today with Kristen Welker, Meet the Press, or yesterday with Kristen Welker, Meet the Press. I mean, he sat down, very long interview, over 100 questions. It's like 90 minutes or something like that. A huge interview. That's what I'm saying. He's incredibly accessible to the press. He doesn't hold back. But he was asked a question about 2028. Are you going to run for a third term or not? What are you going to do? He's very adamant, very clear. If you're concerned about him running again, destroying the Constitution, and just saying he's going to be an imperial president, I don't think you have to worry anymore after hearing this clip. But people will still worry because they can't help themselves. Cut number three.
The Trump Organization is selling hats that say Trump 2028.
Yeah.
Are you seriously considering a third term, Mr. President, even though it's prohibited by the Constitution? Or is this about staying politically viable?
I will say this. So many people want me to do it. Mm-hmm. I have never had requests so strong as that. But it's something that, to the best of my knowledge, you're not allowed to do. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's constitutional that they're not allowing you to do it or anything else. But there are many people selling the 2028 hat. But this is not something I'm looking to do. I'm looking to have four great years and turn it over to somebody, ideally a great Republican, to carry it forward. But I think we're going to have 4 years, and I think 4 years is plenty of time to do something really spectacular.
The Constitution does prohibit it. Some of your allies are pretty serious about this, though, Mr. President. I've spoken to them. They say they are coming up with potential ways. Well, obviously, the biggest one would be a constitutional amendment.
That's because they like the job I'm doing, and it's a compliment.
Has anyone in an official capacity presented you with, sir, here are some ideas by which you could actually get a constitutional amendment?
Well, in a capacity of being a big supporter, many people have said different things, but
okay.
I'm not looking at that.
He's not looking at that. He wants to do one term. And you know what? If you're not worried about getting reelected, you can do whatever you want. I mean, the problem typically with any politician who can't run for another term is that they're lame ducked. And when you're a lame duck, you typically lose some power because it's like, what are you going to do? You can't run again. Trump's an anomaly, though. He has incredible support. His base is locked down, completely locked down in support of him. So he can do one term, get everything done that he wants to do, accomplish everything, and not have to worry about getting reelected. And the amount of time it takes to run for president. Like, people forget that, too. In addition to just, you know, worrying about doing things that are politically popular to get reelected and not having to worry about that. So that's off the table, right? You can do whatever you want now that you think is right without having to worry about any ramifications at the ballot box, which has its pros and cons. I mean, you could argue that any problem with term limits is that in their last term, the people can't hold that person accountable. That's an argument against term limits. I personally am for term limits, though, because the person could always run theoretically again unless they're barred from running for another term, in which case the president is and is the only office that is. If you had term limits for House and Senate, most likely it would be you can run a certain number of terms and then take a break and run again. Probably is what they're going to work out. But if you have it where you can only serve a certain amount of terms, then you could argue that, well, the problem with that is then the people don't have a way to hold the person accountable if they're not happy with the job that they're doing. But legacy has a way of holding people accountable. And Trump is acutely aware of his legacy and wants to have a great legacy. As I've told you before, he accepts nothing other than being the absolute best at what he does. He wants to go down as being the best president ever. Nothing short of that. So he wants to go down as being the best president ever and for everybody to say he was the greatest. That's just how the guy thinks. That's how his mind works and that's how he operates. So knowing that, then he also doesn't have to worry about taking time away from the job to run for president, which is a lot of work. You got to be out there constantly doing rallies. And, you know, I mean, you could say he's so popular, he doesn't have to do all those things, but you know that that's not the case. In a general election, if he's got a strong Democrat running against him, somebody who's not a horrible candidate, he would have to spend all his time doing that. And the job suffers as a consequence of that. So, yeah, I think he's sincere about that. I don't think you have time to amend the Constitution between now and then anyway. And I don't think people would want it. I really don't. And besides that, the other factor is he's getting up there in age, but he has people that are waiting to do the job, who are capable of doing the job. He's already named two of them, J.D. Vance and Marco Rubio. And the other thing about politics is that the longer that he kind of keeps among Republicans this idea that, you know, maybe I could run, the more he keeps people at bay, which works to the advantage of whoever he wants to be his successor. You know what I mean? So let's say he doesn't want, I'm just going to pull a hypothetical here. He doesn't want Ron DeSantis in 2028. He may not. I don't know. I really have no idea. But let's just say he doesn't. He does want, say, Marco Rubio. The longer he keeps people on the sidelines and keeps them from raising money and going to Iowa and going to South Carolina and locking up support, then the better it is for his person who can't do those things yet. And then he's able to help them in that way by keeping other people on the sidelines, if that makes sense. And Welker asked him about that. You know, can the MAGA movement survive without you, as its leader? Now, President Donald Trump is a once in a 100-year event, no matter who the person is, no matter who it is, whether it's J.D. Vance or whether it's Donald Trump Jr., it'll never be the same with him. He's an anomaly in politics. You're going to have to wait a long time again to ever say anything like that. But that doesn't mean that whoever his successor is won't get at least a very strong advantage among President Trump's base. But it's not a guarantee. It's not a guarantee that person wins the primary. It's not a guarantee they win the general election either. But the movement, what he's saying here, I think, is the movement needs to be and can be bigger than just him because he's just one person. So this is cut number four for Meet the Press. Take a listen.
You have built a political movement that has transformed the Republican
greatest
Party.
History.
It's transformed the country,
the
quite
greatest
frankly.
Political movement in history, MAGA.
When you
make America great again.
When you look to the future, Mr. President, do you think the MAGA movement can survive without you as its leader?
Yes, I do.
What gives you?
I think it's so strong, and I think we have tremendous people. I think we have a tremendous group of people. We talked about a number of them. You look at Marco, you look at J.D. Vance, who's fantastic. You look at, I could name 10, 15, 20 people right now just sitting here. No, I think we have a tremendous party. And you know what I can't name? I can't name one Democrat. I mean, I look at the Democrats. They're in total disarray.
They are. There's no doubt about that. I mean, they cannot stop stepping on rakes. They really can't. They can't stop stepping on rakes. One after another. Now they're attacking John Fetterman. I mean, they're a mess. For the most part, Kristen Welker was pretty fair. She, of course, does have to ask the obligatory NBC Comcast question to Donald Trump, which I think he handled well. It's cut number seven. Are you taking us down an authoritarian path? Cut number seven.
What do you say to those who believe you are taking the country down an authoritarian path?
Well, there you go again. Why don't you ask it a different way? Many people wanted to come into our country. Many people love Trump. I won the election. They didn't win the election. I got a lot more votes than they did. I won the popular vote. I won all seven swing states by a lot. A lot of people were surprised. I said, I think you could win four, maybe five. No, I won all seven. And I won by a lot. And I won, actually, I think there was a lot of hanky-panky going on, but it was too big to rig. That's the good news. It's too big to rig. But let me just say, so when you make these statements about people say this, people, well, you know, they had their chance at the election and they lost big. So you should ask the question differently. You should say, what about the people that want to be in this country? What about the people that love this country?
But what do you say? I'm asking it on behalf of those people. To give you a chance to respond to them. What do you say to those people, sir?
Those people are going to be very happy. They're going to have to see some results. And I think we had a great 100 days. There are a lot of people that say it was unprecedented. It was an absolutely unprecedented 100 days. And I hope that they're going to be right.
The authoritarian path. Look, the reality is our system just doesn't allow the president to be an authoritarian. That's why he's trying to get this one big, beautiful bill passed, because he needs the legislature to act. As much as the president can sign executive orders, as much as the president can try to do certain things. And, you know, the reason why I said to you earlier, in my opinion, the whole tariffs on movies is not going to fly because you cannot justify that there is a national emergency around movies being made overseas. So to that sense, he cannot do that. That's the Congress has to do that. You know, you could argue the president's powers with regards to stopping fentanyl, ensuring that steel is made in America, national security issues around China, all those things you can justify. Movies, propaganda, you can't. So if we're going to talk about tariffs on movies, that has to be done through Congress. We have to be consistent on that. We can't just, since it's our guy in there, turn around and go, oh, yeah, he can do anything he wants. No, of course not. Besides, I don't think he's really going to do it anyway. I think from his comments today that he made in the White House, it's very obvious. Yeah, he says these things on Truth Social, and then everybody goes nuts. But he said, I'm talking to the people in the film industry. I'm not looking to hurt them. I want to figure out how we can make this work. But our system doesn't allow anyone to be an authoritarian because you need Congress to pass bills that fund things. And that's why, like, for example, I mean, you want to, if you want to destroy Trump's legacy in a heartbeat, you just don't, you don't renew the tax cuts. And then everybody gets the biggest tax hike in American history. And, you know, he's going to become, he'll become very unpopular. So the Republicans need to get that through. They need to get that done. But no, there's so many externalities to it. And of course, he said over the weekend, too, I'm going to do what the Supreme Court tells me. I'm going to do what the Supreme Court tells me. So that's the other check on the system. That's why I don't lose sleep over this idea that we'll ever really have an authoritarian president in this country, because our system just, the founders are smart. They put in so many guardrails against that, which is why in 250 years, we've never had one. We've had presidents who exceeded their authority on multiple occasions, mind you, but never became a dictator, never became the kind of authoritarian. I mean, Wilson and FDR, domestically speaking, for FDR, absolutely were with the power of the executive. But even they were reined in various different times. Like when Roosevelt tried to pack the court, for example, you know, and that was he was reined in on that. So. But we do need some deals. We got to get some deals. But to the point on the one big, beautiful bill and the tax cuts, I mean, just to prove to you that you do need, he still needs Congress to get things done. He can't just govern by executive order. The system doesn't allow for that. You know, the executive has certain powers, and the executive's power then is limited and needs the legislature to act. And that's where we come into the one big, beautiful bill. So here's what he was talking about over the weekend with Kristen Welker. This is cut number five. Take a listen.
We're talking about the great, big, beautiful bill, you know, that we're trying to get passed. It'll be the biggest tax cuts in the history of our country. And hopefully it'll get done. And the Democrats are fighting us. And if it doesn't get done, it's going to be a 68% tax increase. So that's going to be the Democrats. But I think we're going to have it done. I think the Republicans are going to vote for it. And it'll be the most consequential bill, I think, in the history of our country.
Leader Thune says he wants to get it done by July 4th.
Yeah.
Do you think that's possible?
I think it is. And I think he's doing a fantastic job. And Mike Johnson, Speaker, is doing a fantastic job. And they're both getting together well. There's great unity in the Republican Party. The Republican Party is a much different party than it was.
Yeah, they'll get it done. But I mean, that's the point. You know, everything, whatever a president does by executive order can be undone by the next president with executive order. That's why you need Congress to codify these things into law. Otherwise, we play the same game every 4 years or every 8 years. Every time it's a new administration, we play this game. The game is, I'm the president now of the other party. I'm going to come in and undo everything the last guy did. And then 4 years later, I'm going to come in and undo everything the last guy did. You codify this stuff into law, and then that problem goes away, which is good. That's the way it should be. As far as deals could be coming the end of the week. I hope so. I really do. I've been saying this since the tariff thing, since the Liberation Day, and I want to see deals. I really do. On Air Force One last night, speaking to the press, president said deals could be coming this week. This is cut number eight. Take a listen.
It could very well be. Nobody understands. We're negotiating with many countries. But at the end of this, I'll set my own deals because I set the deal. They don't set the deal. I set the deal. They've been ripping us off for years. I set the deal.
Sir.
Every country, almost without fail, friend and foe, has been ripping us off for years. So we're meeting with almost all of them, including China. And at the end, I'm setting the deal. They keep saying, when are you going to? This is not like a big deal that's going to be signed. In some cases, we'll sign. We don't have to have signed. I'm going to be setting the deal. I'll be setting a tariff. You keep asking the same question. When will you agree? It's up to me. It's not up to them. It's up to me. Now, they don't have to deal with us, which is okay, because we lost. Under Biden, we're losing $5 billion a day. Think of it. $5 billion a day. Now we're not dealing with China at all because the tariff's so high that they basically can't deal. And because of that, we're saving billions of dollars. You know? But just, and I'm not saying this to be a wise guy with you, to be mean. I don't want to be mean to your, you know, good professional. But you do keep asking me that same question. It's not like we're going to sit down in an ivory room and we're going to just, he's going to say, there'll be some of that, very little. I don't see a lot of it. At some point in the next 2 weeks or 3 weeks, I'm going to be setting the deal. I'm going to say that such and such a country has had a tremendous trade surplus their way with us. They've taken advantage of us in various ways. And we fully understand what they were doing. We were being led by people that were not very smart. They were able to be taken advantage of. But I can't be taken advantage of. So at a certain point, I'll be just setting a certain tariff number.
Let's get those deals going. That's what I say. Let's get them going. Let's do it. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. I appreciate you being here today. Don't forget tomorrow, Politics and Pints. I'll be live at the Great American Pub on Bridge Street in Phoenixville from 3 to 6 tomorrow, and there'll be Miller Lite specials, okay? Miller Lite specials. So join us tomorrow for that before Politics and Pints. And be a good day tomorrow. Be a lot of fun. And join me tomorrow morning. I'll be on America's Newsroom tomorrow morning, sometime between 9 and 11. They haven't told me the exact time yet, but I'll do that. I'll go up to New York and then over to Phoenixville. It'll be a lot of fun. So, yeah. All right, now, if you're thinking about summer, and you should be, because Memorial Day is in, what, like 3 weeks or something, 3 or 4 weeks. Hard to believe. I mean, yeah, it's exciting. I was talking to my kids about this morning. They're like, Dad, when are we going back to the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey? Well, I said, I'm not sure exactly when you're going back, kids. I know I'm going back June 20th. That'll be our first live show of the year. And I hope you mark your calendars for that. Now, in June, the Grand Hotel of Cape May has amazing specials. And they give resort credits for these midweek stays. The longer you stay, the more you save. Like, for example, you stay for a whole week, you're going to get $80 a night back in resort credits. You can use them at Hemingway's restaurant, the outdoor pool bar, beach concession stand, take the kids on a whale watching boat cruise, whatever you want to do. And the beautiful thing about the Grand Hotel is it has a beautiful outdoor heated pool, an indoor heated pool, salt water. So if it rains, there's something to do. You got the game room for the kids, restaurant right on site, great food, great drinks, handcrafted cocktails, freshest meat and seafood you could possibly find anywhere. And great people there, too. It's also a beautiful place to host a wedding. Beachfront storybook wedding, baby showers, bridal showers, corporate events, you name it. It's all there for you at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Just call my buddy Caitlin. She will make your dream event come true. And make your stay now for summer before the best rooms are gone. And mark down June 20th for our next live show at beautiful Cape May. If you've never been to Cape May before, what are you waiting for? Cape May is an island, truly. It is so different from the Jersey Shore in so many different ways. It really is. It's like, you know, it kind of reminds me of it wasn't a whaling town. So it has a very kind of New England feel to it. Reminds me a little bit of Amity. Kind of does a little bit. Also great history, too. A lot of World War II history. The Grand Hotel itself has that blue tower that you see on the hotel. That was an old lookout tower during World War II. So just go to GrandHotelCapeMay.com, GrandHotelCapeMay.com, and make your stay. And always book direct with them, GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
And I believe our guest is there. You know, is he there, Henry? We got our buddy Bill.
Yes, Bill's
here. Wonderful. All right, let's welcome from the Media Research Center and Newsbusters, our man. You can catch him on X at @band_Bill. Bill DeAgostino. Bill, what's going on, my man? Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you, too. Sorry, I'm in, I got my hotel background going on. I'm visiting family right now, so apologies. But
that's all right.
Doing well.
Did you stay at a Holiday Inn last night?
I didn't.
Oh, all right. Well, hopefully they're treating you okay at the hotel. Is it an undisclosed location, or do you want to tell us where you are?
Yeah, no, I'm just visiting some family in Florida. Although it's, I think I missed the window on fleeing the cold weather for the nice weather in Florida. It's like humid and muggy here, and it's like 70 in Virginia. So yeah. I messed that up.
Sorry about that. Yeah, that happens.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Do, right? So what's going on? What's new? How are things in the world of crazy liberal media? I'm thinking probably the biggest thing has got to be CNN sitting down with a gangbanger.
Yeah, that I honestly, when I first saw that clip, to the credit of the people sharing it around X, I actually didn't catch that. And so I had to go like dig it up on our Snapstream archive just to make sure that somebody hadn't photoshopped the CNN logo in there, because it just seemed so insane. I mean, it tracks, right? It tracks with CNN, yeah. But it seemed almost too preposterous. But there it was. Yeah. May 3rd, so I think in the 6 p.m. hour, it was they aired that.
And just so people who aren't watching our YouTube stream right now, I mean, this gangbanger, this cartel member, whoever this person, I think it's a cartel member, face is completely covered up with some sort of like a face mask or a scarf or something, right?
Yeah, like a bandana. They've got his voice pinned down. I think this was the Sinaloa cartel, although I'm not entirely sure. I believe that's the case, though, Sinaloa.
Now, look, one can make an argument that, you know, journalists should, I mean, they interviewed Osama bin Laden back in the day. You know, this is the kind of thing. I think the problem with this interview that I had was that it was like they were trying to empathize with the cartel members, like how hard it is to make a living out there. So you got to be a cartel member. You know what I mean? Like, oh, right. I know times are rough. So you got to become a drug lord.
Right. I hate when you're forced into decapitating people and selling drugs on the street. Right. Yeah. Terrible. I mean, and who can't empathize with that? Right. And yeah, the questions that she's asking the guy, it's like, well, look, our president says that all of you guys are terrorists now. So, I mean, you know, how does that make you feel? And it's like, what are you talking about? Why are you asking him this? Like, this is some completely out of left field, unfair designation. Like, they are. I mean, what they do is terrorism.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, you're only flooding our streets with dangerous drugs that kill people, and you kill each other for control of that, and then you kill people for more control of that. But other than that, I mean, you know, deep down inside, you're just filling a void in the market. You know, you're just really providing a service. So we got a bad rap.
Yeah. At one point, she actually lets him get away with saying that, too. He says, well, look, you know, if we didn't have customers here, we'd stop. We'd stop. And it's like, oh, OK, no, good call. Good call, dude. It's our fault. It's our fault that that you're ravaging the streets. OK, sorry, we'll stop.
All right. Well, here's the clip we're talking about. This is cut 33. Take a listen.
According to the Trump administration, you are a terrorist. I mean, the cartels have been labeled a foreign terrorist organization. What do you make of that?
Está fea la situación, ¿verdad? Está fea la situación, pero pues todos nos tenemos que comer.
What's your message to Donald Trump if he's watching this?
Mi respeto, él tiene que según él buscar lo mejor para los suyos. Pero el detalle que ya están los consumidores, ¿no? Si no hubiera consumidores, pues...
Well, the situation is ugly, but we have to eat. Yeah. Well, that's what he says. Well, the situation is ugly, but we have to eat. And then he says, my respect. According to him, he's looking out for his people. So the cartel member, Bill, says to Trump that he has his respect. He's looking out. But the problem is there are consumers out there in the United States. But I had a laugh at that. You know, it's like times are tough, man. I got to eat. I got kids to feed. But I respect Trump for doing what he's got to do for his people. It's just like you can't make it up.
Right. It's like, yeah, no, we both have equally valid hustles going on, me and Trump here. Right. Yeah. Same exact, just two different sides of the same corrupt coin. No, it's incredible. And what is she even asking him? What is your message for Donald Trump for? Yeah. Like, Donald Trump doesn't care what this guy has to say. Like, America has a message for you. Get the hell out of here. Right. Stop.
Stop dealing drugs in our country. It's not that complicated. Right. So now. This I had a laugh over this one. Frank Fugazi, his name is Frank Frigliuzzi, but I call
Frank
him
Frank Fugluzzi.
Fugazi. Yeah, Fugazi for, you know, the fake word for, you know, anything fake in Italian. Got MSNBC in trouble by lying about Cash Patel, and they had to issue a correction over this. So did they had to issue this correction. Now, let me ask you this. I mean, this guy, his claim to fame is what? He's a deep state guy who just hates Trump, and so that's how he got on television. Is that basically it?
Yeah, I mean, Frank, basically, that's perfect. Yeah, Frank Figluzzi is essentially like a caricature of the exact kind of FBI guy that we are all hoping Cash Patel is going to root out of that organization. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right? He is basically the poster child for everything wrong with the FBI. And so, yeah, he's a former agent. He goes on, he frequents like Deadline White House on MSNBC, you know, like that Republican derangement show from all the disgraced former Republicans who've never actually advised anybody who won an election. And he was, for example, he was talking about how dangerous this was for our democracy back in like, what was it, 2019, I think, when McCabe was being fired for leaking. Right. And it's like, I'm sorry, if somebody is committing a 1001, like if somebody is misleading investigators, a normal person, the FBI can throw the book at them and get them locked up. But if you punish a member of the FBI for doing the same thing, this is now dangerous, right? Or for leaking to the press, that's now dangerous. Like, no, Frank, you are the problem. You are making the FBI more dangerous.
So let's take a listen to the correction that MSNBC was forced to make on the air, correcting from Friday's show with Frank Fugazi. But before we play it, though, and it is cut number 34, I just have to say, Bill, do you have to make a correction if nobody saw it? It's like if a tree falls in the woods kind of a thing.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I don't know how many people watch Jonathan Lemire's show. I mean, if I walk around the street and I say, you know, Jonathan Lemire, everybody's going to look at me like I'm looking for my friend or something. They're going to be like, no, I don't know who that is. Like, how tall is he?
Like, I mean, this correction is going to be heard more than the original comment. And it's only because people on our side of the aisle are talking about it and tweeting it out to make fun of MSNBC. otherwise, it would have just been one of those things that just was said in the ether and lost forever. But nevertheless, here's cut 34.
And now let's circle back to a segment from Friday's show. Frank Figluzzi was on that morning during this hour discussing the work of administration officials. At the end of that segment, Figluzzi said that FBI Director Kash Patel has reportedly been more visible at nightclubs than at his office at FBI headquarters. This was a misstatement. We have not verified that claim. We will be right back.
First of all, what nightclubs would the FBI director be going to, out of curiosity? Like secret speakeasies left over from J. Edgar Hoover's days?
Right. Yeah, I do wonder about that. I mean, like, unless he thinks that the FBI director is somehow working undercover now because they're that short staffed or something. Yeah, no, the whole thing is ludicrous. He's got more than enough work, I think. That's why he's not coming out and talking very much.
I mean, DC's a town. It's tough to keep a secret. If he was hitting the nightclub scene, you know, in Georgetown or Adams Morgan or something, like, we probably know that. If he was showing up at the VU in College Park, I think we'd know about it.
Right, right. Frank Figluzzi would not be the source for this, right? We'd have heard it 17 times before Frank Figluzzi brought it up, right? If he's the one breaking a story, that story probably never happened. And yeah, I mean, I love Lemire's phrasing there too, right? He misspoke. That's always the term. That's always the term for, sorry, we got caught lying. We'll try better next time to sneak it under the radar. It's, yeah, we misspoke about that.
Bill DiAgostino is with me from the Media Research Center. Follow him on X at @band_Bill, where he does great work putting videos together and monitoring all this craziness that's said by the legacy media. So tell me about Margaret Brennan and this interview.
Yeah, so she's the host of Face the Nation on CBS. She was one of the two awful CBS debate moderators for the vice presidential debate. She was the one that kept cutting off J.D. Vance when they were supposed to not be fact-checking. And she had on Catherine Marr, the CEO of NPR, who I think you'll remember from that disastrous hearing where they brought NPR and PBS people in front of Congress. And she just, I mean, look, I'm not going to allege that she lied under oath, but she said a lot of things that certainly didn't seem true. Mm-hmm. And was, you know, what's the word? Changing her memory, basically, right? Like, oh, I don't remember tweeting that. Oh, I don't remember reading that. Oh, I never said that. And they're just like, they're reading out her tweets to her.
That Republican congressman who was saying, you know, why did you say white people did this? Or she's like, I didn't say that. He's like, really? Because on this day you tweeted the following and then read it right to her face. I mean, it was one of the most brutal takedowns probably in history. It was glorious to watch. It really was.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they might as well have had her on video saying this stuff. And then there was another one where she was plugging some book. I don't think it was White Fragility, but it was like it was a White Fragility adjacent book.
Yeah.
He said, so do you think that that's a really great book? She said, I don't know. I've never read it. He goes, really? Because you said in 2020 that it was on your reading list and you think everybody should read it. Like, OK, so you're lying about that, too.
Yeah, maybe she's just like George Costanza. You know, she saw the movie but didn't actually read the book. I mean, it's very possible, you know.
Wait for Joe Blockbuster.
Yeah, you're right.
That is a good watch.
So here she is on Face the Nation and continues to just lie about their blatant partisan political activism. Cut 31.
How do you respond to the implication that your news coverage is not
fair and nonpartisan.
And I mean, I think unbiased.
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, I think it's important to note that I'm the CEO and we have an independent editor in chief who oversees the newsroom. And so I don't make editorial decisions. And that, I think, is just always an important point to make. But I think our newsroom would really take issue with that. We have been on air for more than 50 years. We've been covering news as it occurs across the nation in local communities, overseas. We have an extraordinary Washington desk. And our people report straight down the line. And I think that not only do they do that, they do so with a mission that very few other broadcast organizations have, which is a requirement to serve the entire public. That is the point of public broadcasting, is we bring people together in those conversations. And so we've had a whole host of conservative voices on air of late. We've been making requests of the Trump administration to have their officials on air. We would like to see more people accept those invitations. It's hard for us to be able to say we can speak for everyone when folks won't join us.
Couple things on that, Bill. First of all, it's interesting how when their funding is on the chopping block, then they start to invite conservatives on. I've got to say, in all right. the years that I've been invited on different media outlets, I've never, ever gotten an invite to go on NPR.
Yeah, I can't imagine you would have. I mean, yeah, you're well outside the range of who they allow on there. I mean, PBS is the exact same thing. They have David Brooks running around as the conservative on every panel, and he spends the entire time agreeing with Jonathan Capehart. And it's like, okay, wait, where's that conservative you guys were talking about? And NPR is just as bad, if not worse. I mean, so back in like every year, NPR on July 4th would read the Declaration of Independence, which, okay, that makes sense, right? They're public broadcasting, makes perfect sense to do that. I believe it was 2020, maybe 2021. They said instead we're gonna forgo that. We'll just publish it on our website, and we're gonna have a conversation about race, because of course they did, right? And then when they published it on their website, they published it with a trigger warning that the Declaration of Independence contains offensive language. So yeah, right down the middle, absolutely, Kathy Marr, you are. You guys are the picture of a centrist, just the archetypal centrists.
And I think it's important to know, like, we're not talking about shutting NPR down. They're welcome to exist. We just don't want to fund them anymore. I mean, if they're so successful and they've got such a great listening audience, and you know, all these upper middle class women driving Subarus who love them, they should have no problem making it in the private sector without government money. I mean, right?
Right. Right. I mean, aren't those tote bags like the number one conversation piece at New York parties? That's what I'm always told, right? At least that's the joke in right wing newsrooms. I don't know how much truth there is to any of that, because we never get invited to those parties. But yeah, I mean, it's if they're able to stand on their own two feet, then power to you. Go right ahead and keep peddling your slop. But yeah, don't make me pay your salary while you're doing it.
I don't know if you noticed earlier today, Cory Booker put out a tweet, and he actually used a clip from The West Wing where Toby was going on about PBS, and he says, you know, I don't care about all that. I want to save the Muppets. Well, you know, fast forward to 2025, because that show was like, I think, in the early aughts or maybe the late 90s. But the Muppets are now owned by Disney. Right? Sesame Street is now part of HBO Max.
Yep.
Like somehow they've found homes outside of this. So we don't need the government to step in and save the Muppets. Like the Muppets are a multi-billion-dollar franchise. They're going to be just fine. The same with Sesame Street, which is now on Max. Like HBO bought the rights to Sesame Street because it figured it can make a whole lot of money having the rights to Sesame Street. They're going to be okay. Somehow they'll make it.
Yeah, it's almost as though the marketable and appealing aspects of PBS and NPR have been able to stand on their own two feet without government money, right? Yeah. And I mean, so like, what do we got now? Like the Muppets are gone. The Sesame Street guys are with HBO. Bob Ross is dead, right?
Child's dead,
right? So what's left, guys? Like what do you do for us? It's like that scene from Office Space, right? What would you say you do here? I mean, they basically just have Christiane Amanpour on to lecture Americans in a British accent. And if you're going to tell me that sells so hard that we don't need government funding for it, then okay, prove it. But if it needs government funding to survive, then maybe it's garbage.
Last clip with you today, Bill. This is Catherine Mayer giving a TED talk where she calls objective truth a distraction. This is Cut 32. Take a listen.
But one of the most significant differences critical for moving from polarization to productivity is that the Wikipedians who write these articles aren't actually focused on finding the truth. They're working for something that's a little bit more attainable, which is the best of what we can know right now. And after 7 years there, I actually believe that they're onto something. That for our most tricky disagreements, seeking the truth and seeking to convince others of the truth isn't necessarily the best place to start. In fact, I think our reverence for the truth might have become a bit of a distraction that is preventing us from finding consensus and getting important things done.
What the hell is she talking about there, Bill? Can you translate that for me? I can't understand what she's saying there.
Yeah, if we're too focused on establishing what the truth is before we move forward, then that's going to unnecessarily delay the productive process of reaching a consensus about what we should do. So we have an unhealthy reverence for the truth. This was, by the way, this was when she was in charge at Wikipedia. So right. if you're wondering why Wikipedia sucks now, that clip might have been very enlightening for you.
Bill D'Agostino, follow him on X at @band_Bill. Always fun to start the week with you, brother. Have a good one.
Great to see you, Rich. Thanks.
Thank you. Oh, Henry forgot the sounder. It's been too long, Henry.
It has been too long. I wasn't aware of that.
You forgot. It's all right. All right. Well, listen, let me tell you about Emmons Roofing and Siding. My great friends over there, they do fantastic work, and they're going to save you 10%. 10% off roofing, siding, Anderson windows, and so much more. Emmons even has a bathroom remodeling division. And you know they remodeled the bathroom in our old house, and my wife loved the work that they did. So just reach out to them today. They serve our entire region, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and, of course, the Jersey Shore. How's that roof doing if you have a shore house? Because, you know, that summer heat is about to come, and that roof's going to take a beating. So have a free roof inspection from my friends at Emmons. They're never going to tell you you need a new roof if you don't. But if you do, you'll have a lifetime warranty on that roof with the best in the business, Owens Corning Shingle. So, what are you waiting for? Just go to emmonsroofing.com today. E-M-M-O-N-S, emmonsroofing.com. Matt and Stephanie are dedicated to your customer satisfaction, and they're going to make sure the job is done right, on time, and on budget. And 10% off. Just tell them I sent you, emmonsroofing.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, I'm sure that you and DeSantis have been talking about something stupid the entire time. So what is it today? What are you arguing about today?
Honestly, it's been pretty much straight business.
No way.
There's a lot more moving parts here, and I'm here by myself, so I got to figure out what I'm doing here.
Because in the past, you guys have fought about, you know, could you jump out of a moving airplane and survive?
You still believe debate, I can.
Right? What are some of the other key debates you guys have had during the show, in the middle of the show?
Mostly movies or something. But no, yeah. I want to hear what Matt has to say, yeah.
Oh, a lot of the time, it was Henry talking my ear off about something that happened in the NHL or the NBA that I didn't watch and didn't really care all that much about, but he would get very heated and very passionate about it. So I would just take the other side to rile him up, even though, again, I had no vested interest in the conversation.
Right. Right.
So it was all just a ruse just to get me angry? I mean, usually, it makes for great radio when Rich asks.
I just like to push your buttons, yeah. You know? So, are you going to join us in K-May on the 20th?
20th. Is that this month?
June.
I don't know if I'm around that week.
All right. Well, hopefully you can. It'd be nice to see you.
Fingers crossed.
Either way, we'll see you tomorrow night at the... You going to come to the pub first for happy hour?
I think that's what I'd stick around for, yeah.
All right, good.
I didn't buy a ticket. I don't know if that's an issue.
I don't think you have to buy it. You work here.
Can I just say that? Like, show up? Yeah, I work here.
But remember, there's the bar first at the Great American Pub.
Right.
And then politics and pints.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah, I think you don't have to buy a ticket. I think you can. We'll get you in.
Okay.
Tell him you got a guy. Tell him you got a guy.
I know a guy.
You know a guy.
It's that guy over there.
Yeah. And let's see, what else do we have? Oh, I got to go to break. But before I do, let me tell you the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. With two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, it's May. It's almost picture season. Get your beautiful smile today. The free implant consultation, VeneriaDental.com. All right, well, you two think of something good to argue about. We can do it in the 5 o'clock hour, okay? We have 30 minutes of nonstop talk straight ahead for you. Brought to you by the Grand Hotel. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.